Here, the two creators, or two of them anyway, for fantasy's sake.
To For Fantasy's Sake, a weekly presentation by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill and the Corner Tap. It's week 7, boys, and it's also my favorite day of the year. It's National Tight Ends Day. Like, aren't you guys just so excited that we get to celebrate the coolest position in the NFL? They're part offensive lineman, part wide receiver. Some of them do one, some of them do the other, some of them do both. And it's great. We get to celebrate them today.
It is a fun day, DJ, and I know you look forward to it all year long because you get to celebrate Travis Kelce, and he's near and dear to your heart. But I think if you look at the tight end position now more than ever, you don't find those guys who are just blocking back tight end anymore. That position doesn't exist. Like, you used to have the Brandon Manu Maliunas of the world who would just come in to be blockers. But that's no longer a thing. You've got to be an all-out athlete who's fantastic at blocking, and you have to be amazing at receiving, and you got to line up in the slot. So tight end has evolved. You're probably right. They don't get as much recognition as they should because of how much that position has changed and how much we kind of just give them an app. And part of that might be fantasy, because with fantasy, you look at the tight end position, there's the 5 guys you want, and then the rest of them are like, eh. So fantasy might be a problem for the tight end position.
And they rewarded us with, for National Tight Ends Day, we get a matchup between Travis Kelce and George Kittle this week. Like, how much better of a reward could we have?
It would be nice if Kittle played occasionally. I think that's the thing, is you need George Kittle to play more consistently. This season's been frustrating. He's a fantastic player. I want to see him succeed. Obviously, I've always really liked him because I am an Iowa fan, so following him throughout college and then into the NFL, thought he could potentially be the best tight end of his generation. But Kelce's got that far and away. I think Kelce's great at both things, blocking and catching passes. And over time, he's proven that he's the more elite tight end. Now, he's had better quarterbacks during that time, too. But, Travis Kelce's phenomenal. It's a reason to celebrate tight ends. Kittle's very good, but he's not going to be mentioned in the same breath as Travis Kelce when their careers end. What do you think, Brian? Who's your favorite tight end?
I'm there with Kelce, too. I mean, we're a local show start out with, and You got to go with Kelce. But that being said, I mean, if you look at the Baltimore Ravens, Andrew, they employ 2 tight ends. So obviously, Andrews doesn't quite do the blocking that Kelce does, like you were saying, but he's still a special talent. So it's a toss up between Andrews and Kelce, but I'll say Kelce because you know, he's been doing it longer. So,
and I briefly touched on that matchup here today we've got between Kansas City and San Francisco. And that actually brings us to our first topic of the day. So on Fantasy Tinder for today, and are we swiping left or swiping right on this? Christian McCaffrey is going to get enough run today to have him in your lineup.
I'm swiping right. somebody on Twitter and a couple other spaces had a question. It was start one of three, and it was Jeff Wilson, McCaffrey, and AJ Dillon. And to me, I mean, that's an interesting dilemma, but I think that McCaffrey takes enough away from Jeff Wilson that he becomes unstartable. And then, like I was telling the person I was asking, AJ Dillon hadn't scored double digits since week one. So I think that McCaffrey will get 10 points. I mean, he's going to be primarily employed from what they say in the goal line situations, but that's also one of the higher totals on the board. So I think there'll be enough touchdowns scored that McCaffrey gives you those 6 points as a floor, and then he'll give you something else too. So I think he'll get double digits, and I'm not sure Dillon will.
Any other position, you would just be ruling him out completely. But a running back, to a certain degree, you hand him the ball and you let him go with it. But I think the San Francisco offense is so complex that you won't see him get enough touches to really matter as much. If he's getting those goal line touches, yeah, I completely understand that. And he can flare out and he can catch passes out of the backfield. And he's an absolute weapon when he does that because he gets the ball in space. So you could see him really benefit from a quarterback like Garoppolo who can check it down when things aren't there. And then McCaffrey can do enough to make something happen. I just don't feel comfortable enough knowing there's going to be a pitch count to say on McCaffrey to really roll with that. Of those three that you mentioned, Brian, maybe Jeff Wilson, just because he gets the yards in between the 20s, but you're right. He's already handcuffed because he's not going to be getting goal line touches.
Yeah, I think, and I even put him back into a couple lineups today. I'm definitely swiping right. I think that we can justify him. But I do also think that it kind of depends on what you've got and who you're playing. If you're looking for a big week, I think this is where you play CMC, because I do still think he has that ceiling, especially against a Chiefs defense who's susceptible to giving up a lot of yards, receiving out of the backfield. So if you're looking for a high ceiling game, I want CMC. If you're looking for a high floor game, I'm wondering if maybe you have, Wilson in that circumstance, or if you have another back or flex guy that you feel comfortable with, I go that. So if you're playing it safe, don't play CMC, obviously. And then if you need the home run ball, like one of the leagues I have CMC for, I boneheaded it and forgot to take Hollywood Brown out of my lineup. See, even us guys make mistakes. I put CMC there because I need the home run.
And the thing about looking at it is there's four good teams on buys, and I'm sure we'll get to that momentarily. So most leagues are 12 team, pretty much standard. So you're looking at all he's got to be is the top 24 running back plus four teams on buys. Basically saying, can CMC and limited touches be a top 30 back? To be a starting running back? Yeah, I think so.
Brian, to that, while we do have four teams on buys today, it's not a necessarily murderer's row of fantasy running backs. The Bills, you're not really starting Singletary. Rams, the Vikings, you have
obviously that Dalvin Cook fella.
Yeah, and then the Eagles, Sanders has been good. But yeah, like you said, you're really only expecting him to be top 24, 30. And you've got to feel like even on limited touches, three or four passes, and that's very possible that he ends up there.
The question I would throw out just for the heck of it, would you rather start him or Chuba? I think it is Hubbard.
Chuba. Yep.
I think for me, it's Deontay Foreman if I'm going anywhere in Carolina. I think that he showed, especially last year, he had some games in Tennessee when Derrick Henry went down that showed he still had a little bit of a kick. And he's a guy who came back from an Achilles tear. But he's a guy I think is more promising. But that Carolina thing, Carolina place, not very promising fantasy-wise at this point.
Well, you look back to last year, DJ, and you're right. Because Deontay Foreman was on a lot of people's radars as a sleeper for a long time, and a lot of people rostered him just waiting for something to happen, and then it never happened with the Texans. He looked like he had new life last year when he took over for Derrick Henry. So is he going to be that same guy in Carolina, or like you said, Brian, are they going to go with a guy that they identified and drafted in Chuba Hubbard? Chuba, to me, he's supposed to be this elite speed player, but I just never seen it on the field. There are those players who they run the 40 and you're like, wow, that guy's going to blow people away. And then you see him in an NFL game and you're like, why is he running through mud now? So I've never felt confident in Chuba. So I think Deontay Foreman has gone through the trials of the league. He knows the league, and that's a better fit there. And DJ, you might be right about CMC, because all week now he's had to hear about how he's a 27-year-old running back, and all season long he's been told how injured he's going to get. And so to be traded for a second, what, a fourth and a fifth, and not be even like considered for a first of any kind, I think he's probably got his reputation a little injured, and maybe he wants to prove something to somebody.
I did read on Twitter that on that NFL value draft chart, the picks ended up being like what you would trade for like the number 28 pick in the first round. So, but still, I mean, that's a guy, this is a guy who, what, number 4 overall pick just to not too long ago. So moving on, speaking of perpetually injured, swipe left, swipe right. Dak Prescott's going to do well enough the rest of the year to finish as a QB1 in points per game.
I'm going to swipe right. I mean, you're talking, once again, I talk 12-team standard in regards to typical 12-team leagues. And points per game, I mean, there's not that many great quarterbacks. I mean, I can't name 12 quarterbacks that I'd rather have than Dak. And he's on a pretty good offense with weapons. Get two good running backs, and obviously CeeDee Lamb. And we'll talk about this later in the DFS segment. But, yeah, I mean, I think the offense provides enough opportunity to be top 12.
It's hard because coming off an injury like that, how much do you trust him, really? And last, you know, it was, let's get him back. And it seemed like, to start off, Jerry Jones is, like, talking about how quickly Dak was going to come back, it seemed like a thing to keep the team engaged, to keep them from just, you know, folding and calling it a season after their QB gets hurt. So I just don't know what you're going to get from him at this point. I want to see a game before I'm like, I'm all in on Dak. You're right, Brian, because there's so few quarterbacks you feel like you trust, and he has come back from an injury and he's looked like himself again. So if anybody can do it, it's going to be him. I just want to see it before I push all my chips in on Dak.
So we're going to swipe right, but not maybe not respond to the DM.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
No, I definitely feel that way.
When the Buccaneers game, he passed for 134 yards. So it feels like you still need to see some things there. He threw an interception. He got sacked twice. That's not like a Dak performance. It's a tough game to come, that was in week one. I'm sorry. But yeah, so we didn't have a great body of work to start the season. And that was the last taste you got of him. So now he's coming off an injury where he's cold after he didn't start the season off so hot. And it's just like, do we want to just plug him right back in? I don't know yet.
And one thing that caught him last year was volume also. They would get ahead in games, it seemed, and then his volume a lot of times was affected. So, but at the same time, I'm just comparing him to other quarterbacks in the league. I agree with you, it's a wait and see, but there's quarterbacks that have been playing for the last 6 weeks. There's no way I would put them in the top 12. So
it's fantasy football. There's no wait and see. It has to be either he's an absolute stud or he's the worst player to ever live.
Exactly. So, now, maybe there is that opportunity in definitely when we're talking about DFS, you can wait and see. So,
speaking of wait and see and not knowing, with Jonathan Taylor supposed to be back this week and getting his full comp, you know, carries and everything like that. I saw Deion Jackson's projections everywhere just plummet. I think there was even one site where his projection was zero, especially with him and Nyheim Hines back as well. Do we think Deion Jackson's going to cut into Jonathan Taylor's production, or is this just a he was a good week or a good injury fill-in and back to third string he goes?
I'm personally swiping right. I could see this week maybe Jackson having a role. His only opportunity to me is getting ahead of Nyheim Hines. He really hasn't set himself apart necessarily. And that's, you know, Jackson had, what, 10 catches last week or something like that? He had, he did quite well. So, I mean, there's not to say that he can't still have a role. Maybe Hines doesn't have as big as a role. But and being first week back, I could see Taylor limited to maybe 15 touches. But moving forward, if they expect to win and they're in a competitive division where they can win the division, it's going to be the Jonathan Taylor show.
Yeah. I agree with Brian. It makes all the sense in the world. You're going to give the ball to the most talented player, and that is definitely going to be your guy who carried your team all of last year. I think Jackson's going to fall into that category of players that you plugged in for a week, that won you a week, that you might end up holding on to a little too long, thinking there might be something there, when there's just not something there. It was a good spot start for a guy you pulled off the bench, but to think that he's going to become a major part of the rotation, I think is a little short-sighted. It is the Colts, though, and you just never know what's going to happen with the Colts. It felt like it took too long for Taylor to get his starting job because they wanted to mix guys.
So, Chris, another awesome segue there for me. Speaking of holding on for too long here, do you think – is there any fantasy value at the running back position in Kansas City now that they're going to be starting Isaiah Pacheco over Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
You need to thank me, DJ, because I just cut him. That's the reason that they're going to move to him now. I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked great to start the year. Even though it was just spotty, I thought there was reason to really embrace him because he saw a burst he hadn't seen prior. He looked faster. He looked like he was more present in where he was on the field and able to make better decisions. And when you're going to a guy who's younger, I think this is just an Andy Reid. He loves this guy. You go back to the preseason and he's talking about the running back position and he can't stop talking about Isaiah. He's bringing him up all over the place. And then they ask him about Clyde and he's like, Clyde's on the team too. So it's one of those things where I think Andy Reid really likes him. So there's a reason to embrace him and maybe get him on your team. Put him on your bench for a couple weeks, see where it goes.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. He's a guy that I want to put, you know, as a potential end of season kind of value. But being honest to me, the Kansas City offense still runs through two players if you're going to play them consistently, Mahomes and Kelce, and the rest of them I could do without.
Yeah, and I will say, I know that I had a lot more exposure to this team than you guys did in the preseason with Pacheco playing, but he does a lot of things that reminds you of the guy who wore 10 before in Kansas City. He is he's jittery, explosive. He can do some things. In the open field, he runs hard, which is nice. I think that there's an opportunity there for him. We just kind of got to figure out what that is here. And the final one before we go to break, Amon-Ra St. Brown's one of those guys that we think is a league winner, and he's going to reward everybody's patience for sticking with him, not trading him while he was hurt.
I'm going to swipe left on Amon-Ra St. Brown. It really depends on how you define league winner. Are we looking at him as a top five rest of the way? Or, you know, how do you define it to begin with? I think he's outside of the top 12 rest of the season, but that's just me.
Well, I was also looking up Isaiah's, like, comp, and his best comparable person on Sleeper is Anthony McFarland. So not saying high praise for your guy there, DJ. But
hey, I rostered Anthony McFarland for far too long, okay?
I am aware. Yeah, but I really like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that if you look at the way the Lions offense was firing, take out the clunker that they just had before the bye. That offense has reasons that you can believe in them. And they've got a coaching staff outside of the crazy person leading them. They've got a coaching staff full of guys who are going to be head coaches someday. And you can't say enough about how good this team can be if they figure it out.
I think one of the things that's also going to help them is, I don't know that you can necessarily name the second wide receiver on the depth chart. I know it, DJ Chark, Josh Reynolds, whatever. But Jameson Williams is on his way back, and I think that's just going to help this offense. I think this is just going to help Amon-Ra St. Brown having another explosive player on the other side of the field. So I'm pretty excited to see what happens with St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Jared Goff once this is on the field. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm thinking they're going to have another clunker this week against Dallas. Dallas's pass rush, I know Diggs gets burnt a lot, but he also gets a lot of picks. If I'm in a dynasty league, I'm hoping they throw up another clunker and I can buy Amon-Ra St. Brown fairly cheap. That's a guy I would be willing to give like a mid-range 2023 pick, first round pick for, because I think that they get Stroud or Bryce Young or Will Levis in there next year, who's going to have a little bit more ability than Jared Goff. So
talk about Jameson Williams. What he does well is he's going to take the top off. And in order to take the top off, you need somebody who can throw the deep ball. And I think throughout his career, Jared Goff's never been that guy who's going to beat you 20+. Jared Goff's the guy who's going to do the right thing. He's going to check it down. He's going to hit a bunch of, you know, Hawkinson underneath and get the ball to Swift. But I don't know that Williams is going to change a lot, because you need that threat of somebody under center who can hit him deep. So you're right, DJ. I think adding somebody new into the mix there can open things up for Amon-Ra St. Brown a little bit more. Probably not as much as we're anticipating, though.
And while you were talking, because I know you did this to me while I was talking, I looked up this this coaching staff in Detroit. And, oh my Lord. So Deuce Staley as their assistant head coach, Mark Brunell as their quarterback coach, Antoine Randall as their wide receiver coach, JT Barrett, who was good at Ohio State, is their offensive assistant, just basically just out of the NFL. And then their offensive coordinator is just a math dude. Like, he played football, but he went to school to do math. And to have an analytical point of view on your staff, this is a really good staff, as you said, and I'm here for it.
That was the great part about Hard Knocks. I think in the past you watch Hard Knocks and you see the coaches where you're just like, this guy is a moron. But you watch Hard Knocks this year, and all the coaches are fantastic. They're great at challenging the players because they played the position and they know what they're talking about. They already have that credibility built in, and they get that buy-in. You watch Deuce Staley, and he is just – he has his players' attention. He is pushing DeAndre Swift in every preseason game. It's not just like, keep yourself healthy, the regular season's around the corner. It's, you got to be elite. You need to score on that play. And that's the difference in coaching between guys who played and have that edge to them and the guys who aren't instantly connecting with their players.
And on this, before we go to commercial, I let us go way over, but that's okay. This is a good segment. I think two thumbs up from the critics today. I think we finally have that answer why Deuce Staley did not get the Eagles job, because I think Nick Sirianni knows what he's doing.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that guy's been pretty good. All right, we're going to go to commercial here. I wish I had something. Chris had a good suggestion. I don't have anything prepared for that, but we're going to go commercial on the backside. We'll do some fill in the blank / would you rather, and we'll make that quick. Not 5 minutes quick, but we'll get there.
This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint's is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. This episode is brought to you by The Corner Tap. Who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games, and then head on over across the Moline-Rock Island border to the Corner Tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at the Corner Tap with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head into the Corner Tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone. For Fantasy's Sake has teamed up with Route 96 Boutique to raise a little more cash for Toys for Tots this season. From September 11th until the end of November, 10% off of all purchases made with Route 96 on Sundays will be donated to us for our Toys for Tots drive. At Route 96, they believe in girl power. They want a place that people of all shapes and sizes can shop and feel empowered and beautiful. They want you to be the best you possible, and they are committed to bringing you different styles while also providing some basics to express the true you. You can find them on Facebook and at Route96Boutique.com. Again, that's Route96Boutique.com.
All right. I want to once again thank Route 96 for their partnership with us on the Toys for Tots deal. We've been raising some good money for Toys for Tots. I can't actually wait to do that shopping trip and see all the fun things we can get for the boys and girls of the Quad Cities. Do want to give a shout out to the top scoring individuals from last week. Our top scoring player was Max Eastwood. He's in Doug Green's division five. He's a fella that is also in the division with Doug and I in the Scott Fishbowl. He was gung ho to join this up and help us raise a little money for our Toys for Tots. I believe he's from the Rockford, Illinois area, so it's not too terribly far from us. And then our top scoring celebrity this week is Detroit Tigers farmhand Cody Sudlock. He put up 148.58 points. Low scoring week for everybody. Max did 177.4. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen this week. Who's going to be the top scoring player? We're getting awful close to the playoffs starting in those leagues. So about halfway through. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. All right, boys, we got 1 minute till the end of this segment. So let's get going here. Fill in the blank. Blank will be the RB1 rest of season in Baltimore.
I'm always going Austin Eckler.
No, in Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore. I'm sorry. Baltimore. It'll be Kenyon Drake.
Can we pass?
First off, hi everyone. How we doing? Good to see all your pretty faces. Is it a troll? Am I just trolling or being a jerk if I say Lamar?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
It's worth a shot. I think I trusted Kenyon Drake going into this year just because of his past production. But the times I've seen him, he doesn't look right. I know he put up a big number last week, but I don't know if that's going to be the norm. I don't trust him at this point. So I think it's just throw your hands up, get out of there as quickly as you can.
I'm going to change my answer, to be honest with you. Gus Edwards is coming off of IR today. I think it'll be a Gus bust, to be honest with you.
There you go. I like it.
With at risk of sounding just Chris, I agree with Brian. Gus Edwards is my guy. Also, big Shefty bomb here. If you have DeAndre Swift in a lineup, get him out. He will not play today.
So no, thanks, no, DJ. You just ruined my day right there.
Well, at least I told you. Instead of you finding out when the show's over and having to jam him out of your lineup.
You know, every game that's played across the pond is getting me this year. So don't worry about it. I'm used to it by now.
All right. And so in honor of National Tight Ends Day, I did have to sneak this in here. Who's going to finish this season as tight end one?
Andrews. Mark Andrews.
Boo.
I'm gonna say the GOAT, so just because why not?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Travis.
I just had to go contrarian to ruffle DJ's feathers this morning.
Well, if you look at Andrews' numbers, Kelce had that insane game with four touchdowns. Mark Andrews is just barely short of him when it comes to, you know, putting up production. Andrews has more receptions. Or I'm sorry, two less receptions, but he's got like five more targets. So they're targeting him at a crazy rate. One less touchdown. And yeah, Kelce had a four touchdown game. We know Kelce because that four touchdown game is going to have his stats way out of whack. But Mark Andrews is right there and he didn't have a four touchdown game. So Mark Andrews is doing it consistently. I think that's huge.
I'm obviously going to say Travis Kelce because...
Oh, what a shocker.
You know what? Go away, Chris.
Chiefs. All right.
All right. So, we got through that quickly. Week 7's top quarterback, go. Nobody's going. I'll say Lamar.
DJ, you're taking away the good ones. I'll go with Herbert. It feels like a Herbert week. Joe's making a face.
I will say Lamar, too. I was trying to conjure it in my head who I was going to take, but I'll say Lamar.
QB1 for today is Joe Burrow.
RB1 for today.
Austin Eckler.
It's a bold problem.
I did not say that.
Take one for me.
Who? Derek, screw it. Derek Henry. He kills it Indy every time they play. I'm gonna get bold on that one.
Aaron Jones for Chris. Wide receiver one.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Tyreek.
Yeah, either Tyreek or probably Tyreek. We'll say Tyreek.
Now let's be bold. We'll go with Brandon Cooks.
And on National Tight Ends Day, tight end one today.
Mark Andrews.
I like Mark Andrews. Let's be different. Let's go Tyler Higbee.
George Kittle.
Travis Kelce. Good surprise. All right. We're going to go to commercial on the backside. We're going to earn you some money today. We're going to talk DFS and then we're going to talk a little entertainment purposes only betting advice.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island. In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at Four Frequency Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out FourFantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is FourFantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season.
Also want to give a shout out to the boys and girls of the For Frequency Sake podcast network. We hope to see Brian and Gladys back next week. I know we've had some differing schedules with our DFS show. We've got Dennis and Professor John Bush holding it down on the data lab. And then we also have Mr. Nick Bull and CZ who bring Card Subject to Change, our professional wrestling podcast, to us every week. And we have Joe on his phone, Winkle, who brings you Educated Ignorance podcast 3 times a week, except for last week, because I made him do the whole show, or 2 weeks ago when I made him do this whole show. And he's like, I can only do one whole show a day. Leave me alone, fellas.
Well, listen, there was your boy had some stuff going on, had to take the day off, was busy after a couple weeks ago. If it means anything, I technically dropped 5 episodes last week because we dropped 2 NBA shows. And I'm on my phone because it's educational, and you're going to find out why in a moment, but we shall continue.
All right, let's talk a little DFS here. Brian, who are you stacking this week?
I kind of ruined this, like the spoiler effect, but my number one stack is Joe Burrow. And in all honesty, in leagues where they fit, I had to go with T. Higgins over Ja'Marr Chase. But I like all 3 Bengals receivers against the Falcons today.
So I also stacked Joe Burrow. There was 7 free contests this week. And so I joined all 7. And I stacked Joe Burrow with Hayden Hurst. Cheap tight end option, but neither here nor there. Nobody tunes into this segment to listen to me. Is there any way you're bringing it back with the Falcons? I can't assume you are.
No, I don't have anything on the Falcons I want. I mean, Cordero Patterson's still in IR, and there's nothing. I mean, unless you wanted to throw out Drake London, but I personally don't. I mean, I don't see anybody else.
So there were a couple positions I thought that were no-brainers of guys. So there's a couple positions where I definitely have the same guy in all of my lineups. But is there anybody that you are saying I'm 100% getting this person in everywhere I'm playing?
Not necessarily. I'm rarely just so convicted that I have to have everybody in the same lineup. So, no, not personally. Who do you have?
Well, I think you got to play the Jets defense.
Yeah, that one makes a lot of sense. I actually picked him up in my league of record that we've been doing for 20 years before the news dropped, even that Russell Wilson was going to be out. So,
yeah, I think the Jets defense almost has to be in your lineup this week.
They're cheap too at 2,600.
They are very cheap. I found it very easy to construct a lineup confident in throwing the Jets defense and Hayden Hurst in.
Yeah, so, there's some other tight end options too that don't really bother me.
Yeah, just go ahead with that.
Dalton Schultz, to me, he practiced in full on Wednesday, so he's fully healthy. I think honestly, DraftKings left the Cowboys main players cheaper. Even CeeDee Lamb is somebody that I want to fit in some lineups. He's at either 6,800 or 6,900, and you know it's the Dak. You know you got to trust him, but at the same time, I'm willing to take that chance because the Lions defense is just awful.
Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb is a great choice, Brian. I think that even if Dak isn't himself, you could get some underneath slants for CeeDee where he's going to start to open things up a little bit more. And you see him still get those touches even if he's not getting big yards and chunk touchdowns. There's going to be a lot of targets there available. It's tough to not pay up for tight end this week, it feels like. I know you guys gave a couple really good options, but at a certain point, you're looking at, like, Gerald Everett. And like you said, Dalton Schultz is a good choice and Hayden Hurst. But those guys have burned you so many times that I just see those names and I'm just like, I don't it makes me itchy.
I don't blame you. Now, I will say this. The two top tight ends, it's kind of interesting. When you look at the points per game on DraftKings, you have both Andrews and Kelce at 20 or more points, and nobody else is really over in double digits. But the matchups for both those players this week are actually top 10 against tight ends. And I know that means diddly squat playing two tight ends like Andrews and Kelce. They're a breed of their amongst themselves, but it's not a slam dunk, especially for Kelce against the 49ers.
And we've talked a lot about CMC so far throughout the show. Does that make you buy into Jimmy Garoppolo even a little bit? Is that a place to save some money? He hasn't put up like a 20-point week so far this season. Is this the week because he has more weapons and Debo's maybe more in a traditional role?
I'm glad you brought that up because there's actually not only Jimmy G, but I also like Matt Ryan for cheap against the Titans this week. So, yeah, actually, it was a rare week where I saw two guys that I liked about the $5,500 range for quarterback that I'd be more than willing to take a chance on. And with, like you said, you can go Debo. And for the Colts, you could actually go either way with Pittman and or the rookie. I mean, you know, you can definitely go either way with that. So
the one thing about – sorry, Chris.
No, go ahead.
The one thing about that Chiefs-Niners game is the Niners do move the ball today. I don't expect it to be through the air that much other than maybe dump-offs. The one thing about the Chiefs defense is, like, to really get them is running the ball or having the ability to take deep shots one-on-one. I think they're gonna try to lean heavy on the run today. And so I don't know if – so that's why I would be a little bit hesitant about Geno. And you guys were talking about receivers. I think Michael Pittman, even though I kind of talked about the Colts probably getting wrecked today, because they're just the weirdest team in the league right now. But yeah, Michael Pittman is, I think, going to start being a real big buddy ball connection, because if they were down to like their last life last week, and then Matt Ryan pretty much just said, yeah, this number 11 kid is always open, so we're just going to kind of throw the ball to him. So there's – like, he could honestly be wide receiver one today if they weren't playing the Texans, you know? What?
With you, I think you might be on the wrong track there.
No. Pittman went nuts last week.
For the number 14.
I mean, Pierce had a good – but, I mean, Pierce
– and I'd rather put 14 in my DFS lineup and save some cash.
That is – you know, that's a good point. Talking about DFS.
No Bearcats.
Well,
Cincinnati, baby.
Breece Hall is still at 6,200, Brian. Why haven't we seen a move for him to be more expensive yet?
Maybe because he's on the Jets. That'd be my best answer. We've all watched football. We all seem to be 30-plus. We've all watched football for 20-plus years, so. When was the last time, really? Maybe LT in his olden days, but I mean, theoretically, if any of us ever gotten excited about a Jets player,
Thomas Jones.
surprisingly, they've done very well, though, record-wise. But Breece Hall, I don't know. Sometimes you're just slow to react, I guess.
So,
go ahead. So Kenneth Walker is another one, Brian, where I love what he's doing, and he put up a great week last week. He's already among league leaders when it comes to creating missed tackles. Is this another Seattle running back that's going to just be the workhorse the rest of the way?
Yeah, that's actually my game of the day. Not that Kansas City and San Francisco isn't, but the one thing about those players, I was able to fit Dibbo in a lot of places, but in all honesty, Kansas City's always tough. You got Kelce and Mahomes, and they're always expensive. So, to me, the whole San Diego-Seattle game's a great way to go. And Kenneth Walker would be my comeback player. I don't know. Last week, the Chargers figured they'd throw 5-yard dumps across the whole game. But they're typically one of my favorite teams to play. But I love Kenneth Walker as a comeback player.
Is there anywhere you're looking to save a couple bucks?
Yeah, like I said, quarterback this week is actually not bad. And I actually, at tight end, I know it's not pretty, but Cade Otton for the Tampa Bay Bucks at 2,700 seemed to be a money saver to me because he's starting to get targets. Brait seems to be out. I think he's already been ruled out, I believe. So a guy like Cade Otton can really give you some extra room. And like you said, the Jets defense is really nice too. So for me, it'd be Otton and the Jets defense combined to get $5,300. You can save all kinds of room.
So one of the ways that I feel like people win some cash these games is being kind of a contrarian play, finding that guy who's going to blow up and not be in a whole type of bunch of lineups. Chris busted all of what I thought was contrarian play by also calling out these guys today that I had in my lineup. Is there a guy that you kind of feel like is going to be low owned outside of Otten that you feel like could blow up and win somebody some money today?
That's a tough question. Honestly speaking, I don't have anybody off the top of my head, but I really like the Otten play. Also, I don't know how contrarian is, but I don't mind Wandell Robinson at 4,500. I think it is. I like his upside. And like we were both talking about, the UC receiver for the Colts. So I don't really have a ton of extra like special plays.
So
I got a funny one.
I feel like I got to start playing the Millie Maker so I can, you know, play. Like if I'm gonna buy a lottery ticket every week and just put it up to chance, at least I could use some of my actually like talent to maybe win money. I don't know. I feel like I got to start playing. I'm a talentless hack, let's be honest. But all right, Joe, before we go to commercial, what are your thoughts?
My funny play, Brett Rippon. We'll get to that later.
Oh my God. All right, we're going to commercial. Yes, Chris, I agree with you. And I also hate that you threw that out. Chris just threw out Travis Etienne, another guy.
DJ loves, but he forgot about him.
No, I have him in a lineup, Chris, and I felt like it might have been contrarian because he's facing a very good defense, and then you're like, haha, DJ, you stink.
DJ's I love him but forgot about him is Chris's I'm just gonna agree with Nick or Brian.
Yeah, dude, we need to get Chris a shirt that says I agree with you, Brian.
Point the shirt.
All right, we're gonna head to commercial when we get back. Joe, you've got 10 minutes to tell people who you're betting on this week.
You from the West, the podcast covering Illinois high school football. Weekly analysis and reaction from around the western side of the state of Illinois.
This yep. is the game we had circled when the year started.
Follow along on YouTube and Twitter and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's big time football out there tonight. And I know we can play big-time football.
You from the West. We got you covered.
So, Joe, with football wrapping up in Illinois, who's calling the Maroons for QC Sportsnet?
This guy.
That's what I figured. Yep. All right. So
Joe, at home against DeKalb next week. Should be fun. My turn to ride. Let's get it. So,
Joe the Show Nation, let's ride.
Yeah, something like that. We're going to talk about them in a moment in our special segment that we're bringing to the show now. But let's. So, another weird week for us last week. But here's the thing. As I said, we're living in a world right now where nobody who's talking about sports gambling and betting on football is winning, because football right now is weird. So the theme of this week is take points, take all the points, take, this is going to be, this is where we're going to, ride this week is taking points. And we might get burned on some of these because they're a little square, but it's kind of a principal play as well. Let's start in Cincinnati. Atlanta getting 6. There's a couple reasons that I do feel good about this. I think this line is even up to 6.5, actually, when we got it. Cincinnati this week missing 2 key defensive players, DJ Reader. They're missing Logan Wilson, their best linebacker. Atlanta runs the ball. They know what they are. Arthur Smith has been one of the best coaches in the league this year with knowing what they have, understanding how to get everything out of the team that he's got. It's been really impressive to watch Atlanta. Now, do I believe that there's a chance that they have an extreme come back to earth moment this week, considering A, they ragdolled the Niners, who I think are still really good, and B, they are 6-0 against the spread, so getting the 7-0 against the spread is very... It's a lot to ask, but we're going to take the Falcons and we're going to roll with it. The next one is the Giants in Jacksonville against the Jags. Now, Giants at +3. This is one of those. It's, I think eventually the world's going to kind of catch up to New York where they're going to start to falter. The one reason that it's kind of just to bet against the Jags at this moment is because they have a lot of. They are the team that cannot get out of their own way. Doug Peterson has been great, but there's a lot of moments where they just continue to make bad decisions. Their risk versus reward factor on going for it has been very off this year. Look at the Houston game. Look at a couple moments last week against Indianapolis. I think the Jags can still be pretty good, and I do worry about them being a well-coached Jags team in a desperate spot. But as long as the Giants cover the 3, we are good. And I think that's I think that can be the case. Also, the one thing about Trevor Lawrence that has been rough this year has been his risk management. And the Giants have been pretty good at being able to cause pressure. Wink Martindale, that defensive coordinator for the Giants, is going to send every single blitz that you can imagine at Lawrence, and there's a chance Lawrence can throw some up and make a couple mistakes. And if you get a couple of those, then the Giants can easily get set up with good field position. Just think of how they completely came back against the Ravens last week. Lamar made some dumb mistakes. The Giants got set up with easy fields, won the game. Crisscross, applesauce, see you later. And lastly, sorry, DJ, we're going to San Francisco. We're going to ride with the Niners +3. Even though I think Kansas City can win, we just need the Niners to cover the 3. This is based solely on desperate team needing a win. I think the Niners honestly can make and possibly win the Super Bowl. Do we really think they're going to be 3-4? This is the sole principal play of the week. The Niners in the points here. Again, they don't do all of the things that the Chiefs struggle with. The biggest things with the Chiefs that they struggle with is their defensive backs are still extremely average. They can't cover one-on-one. They either get burned or they get mossed or they draw DPIs. And they struggle against the run. Too many guys, they're at their second level just catching blocks, and they get mowed over. And offensively, they don't commit to the run well. And their tackles have been an issue. And the 3 teams that have given them trouble when they have the ball this year were the Chargers in week 2 with Bosa and Mack, in week 4 against Vegas, Max Crosby, and Chandler Jones, who before that week, Chandler Jones hadn't done anything. And then last week, Von Miller in the second half wrecked the game and won the game for the Bills. Nick Bosa coming back is a huge, huge plus for San Francisco. I would not be shocked as if they can get a lead and force the Chiefs to pass, especially in the second half. 97 is going to be living in the backfield. That's the one thing that worries me in Kansas City. I think Kansas City can still win, but this is going to be close. I think the Niners, if they cover, it's going to be very, it's going to be just by it. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners won either. And even if they did, as I joked before, DJ and I kind of joked about, or you know, he was saying, you know, we're possibly going to lose this amount of games over the next few weeks, and you're going to think the sky's falling. I won't. I think there'll still be things that they need to fix, but I think they'll be okay in a general scheme. But I think the Niners have a shot to win today, so I'd like them at +3.
Wow, Joe, I gave you 10 minutes and you went 6. I am proud of you.
Do you want me to give the – I have some other content if you would like to our news. I'm mad Nick's not here. This was going to be our bit. And I had to look up the stuff on my phone because Nick's usually got all the player props and stuff pulled up, and I was going to throw him some stuff to give me some lines, so that's why I was on my phone earlier, but I don't know where you want to go. Real quick, if I can ask you, I know this isn't really fantasy-related, but DJ, if there's a pass rusher that you could just hopefully grab at the deadline for the Chiefs, who would it be? Because I think that's what they need to upgrade.
It seems like Brian Burns might be on topic there.
That's a lot, though. Apparently, I read today, at least I got sent this today, that someone offered them like multiple ones for Burns and they turned it down. Yeah. I think Burns is going to be hard to get. I think the Panthers should keep everyone on that defense because they got a lot of good guys. Just retool the whole offense.
I think it's potential that wherever they go pass rush wise, Frank Clark's on his way out. So
he's been bad.
I think that that improves things because especially if you cover a little bit of the money that he's owed, I think that you are getting a decent player who just doesn't seem to want to play. So
no. And another one, too, I think could be a good option for you guys is Robert Quinn because he'd be cheap. His value is plummeted. I think that'd be a good move for you guys. Go get Robert. Kind of like the Melvin Ingram last year. Cheap move for a guy that's still wishy-washy. And Melvin Ingram came in last year and really wrecked for you guys. So
it was a big move. Big move last year getting Ingram because, well, one of the big things that was underrated about, and I did say this at the time. I don't know if you remember this, Joe. I said Melvin Ingram is going to be a very underrated move. And I felt like that's because they were going to be able to move Chris Jones
back inside.
So, not that that's an issue at this point, but,
does Robert Quinn have a sack this year?
No, he's been tough. It's been brutal.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, I don't know, maybe a change of scenery would be cool.
That's what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to trade for, Robert Quinn. He's going to be awesome the rest of the way out. Smith Marsette's going to be the Chiefs' top receiver going forward, and Bears fans are going to even more hate things.
You're going to that. There's a better chance of all four of us owning an NFL team tomorrow than that Smith Marsette kid being a good player in the NFL. Can I give you guys the
ball to you? He's a good player. He shares.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. He's very friendly. Sharing is caring, Chris. Right? Isn't that?
Is this next thing out of your mouth going to be a player prop?
It's not a player prop. It's the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay of the week. And we actually have multiple candidates.
It spreads, not player props.
It's parlays.
But is there player props involved?
Kind of, sort of.
Backside.
On a couple? Okay. All right. That's fair.
For Fantasy's Sake has teamed up with Route 96 Boutique to raise a little more cash for Toys for Tots this season. From September 11th until the end of November, 10% off of all purchases made with Route 96 on Sundays will be donated to us for our Toys for Tots drive. At Route 96, they believe in girl power. They want a place that people of all shapes and sizes can shop and feel empowered and beautiful. They want you to be the best you possible, and they are committed to bringing you different styles while also providing some basics to express the true you. You can find them on Facebook and at Route96Boutique.com. Again, that's Route96Boutique.com.
Oh, I don't want to do that. All right, Joe.
You ready to laugh? All right. So last week we kind of were just messing around, and Nick and I came up with this idea for the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay of the week. There was one leg where we kind of threw out in a separate thing about the Panthers defense getting a touchdown and they scored.
They did.
We were also talking about if last week's was like the Dolphins money line plus like Skylar Thompson scoring because the Vikings suck against third stringers. That was going to be the joke, but that didn't happen. So I came up with a couple, and I want this to be like a recurring thing because I think these are just hilarious. This is the wouldn't it be hilarious parlays of the week, the funniest options and outcomes to happen in games. And they're super long shots. So the odds of it happening, really low. But that's the key, because if it happened, it would be hilarious. Option number one is Green Bay and Washington. It's Washington money line, Taylor Heinicke over 250 yards, and Aaron Rodgers under 233 and a half yards. There would also be an Aaron Rodgers turnover one in here, but I couldn't get that to be on the same game parlay. The odds are plus 1,700 on that. And it'd be hilarious if all of those happened, because if that happened, it would be offense sucks, Heinicke scorches Green Bay, which would be just funny in itself, and Green Bay losing to Washington, who might be one of the five worst teams in the league. The second one, and this pains me to say it, and it also pains me because Nick, who's not here, is a fellow Dolphins fan. Shout out to you, Nick. It's Miami and Pittsburgh, and the theme is the Brian Flores revenge game. It is Pittsburgh money line. It is Pittsburgh defense anytime touchdown, and it is Tua under 250 and a half yards. And that one is plus 4,000. The Brian Flores revenge game. Huh?
I said, I don't actually hate that one.
I know, right? I saw the odds. I was like, wow.
So my wouldn't be it be hilarious parlay is at plus 8,600.
Oh my God. Are you taking like the Panthers to win?
It's all player props. It's going to be three anytime touchdown scores. Robert Tonyan, Evan Ingram revenge game.
Oh, that's nice.
And the Jets defense.
Those are good, but I'm going to give you a reason why the Jets defense might not be in the third and final. Wouldn't it be hilarious? And the sad part is the odds on this aren't great, but this would by far be the funniest. It's the Jets and the Broncos. It is Denver money line. It is Denver over 17 and a half points. The first time all year they would score over 17. And it is Brett Rippon, who I didn't even know was a quarterback in the NFL until like Wednesday, over 187 and a half yards. If you could do alternate team totals, I would slam Broncos over 30 and a half. I think there's a chance today they're going to roll. I love the Jets and what they are, and I love their defense. And even though, like it makes no sense. The Broncos O-line's terrible. The Jets defense has got a lot of good players. The ultimate, like, this is karma, life, everything coming back to run you over like a bus. The 1 week Russell Wilson and his $250 million guarantee doesn't play because he ate rappers in a Subway commercial. The Broncos are going to roll with a quarterback that has the name of a created player, and they're going to just dominate. And it's going to be the only thing we talk about all week, and it's going to be so funny. I think there's a really good chance the Broncos win today, and there's a good chance that like the offense actually looks good, and it's going to be hilarious. It will be. It's by far. The only thing I hate about this is that it had the least odds when I put it together. It was only like plus 400. I was like, FanDuel know. Like they know. They know what's going to happen today. The Broncos are going to ball.
Before you go any further on Brett Rippon being a created player, I do want to alert you to the fact that his uncle won two Super Bowls in the NFL.
I'm just saying, I never heard of the guy until like 2 days ago.
Andy,
I was like,
Mark, who's the Mark.
I was like, who is the Broncos quarterback if Russ didn't play? They're like, Brett Rippon. I'm like,
whoa. And he's a former Chiefs backup. So,
and he was a 4-year starter at Boise State. So,
come on, Joe.
He started at Boise.
Yeah.
How far they have fallen.
Chris, is there any
parlays that you were, or any props that you were scrolling through and you really enjoyed before I get to mine?
I wasn't really finding too much. The only thing about your long shot, DJ, was the Tonyan touchdown. Aaron Rodgers is a fickle person, and he hates people, and he gets into those weird tangents. He doesn't even look at Tonyan around the red zone for whatever reason. It's just, he's not even in his mindset. So that's the only thing that I really worried about. I was seeing the, I think it's Tyreek Hill 50 receiving yards and Curry 20 points at plus 100. Yeah, that's that feels like it's right there.
I would slam that one if I didn't slam Justin Herbert to throw a touchdown last Monday and just throw him back in my face. So the player props that I really liked this week. I got Amari Cooper over 55 and a half receiving yards. Cooper's been on fire. I really liked that. I also went Scary Terry, 53 and a half receiving yards. I like his the way he works with Heinicke, so I think that's possible. Damon Pierce over 67 and a half rushing yards. I think that could also be a Jacobs prop if you were willing to parlay it. I'm not sure exactly what Josh Jacobs is. I think it's like 85 and a half, but I think
slam that.
I think I'd be willing to go that, but I also think Damon Pierce over 67 and a half is good. Jonathan Taylor over 10 and a half receiving yards. I think anytime you have a three down back, get a prop that low, I think that you're willing to hit it. And then Ezekiel Elliott over 65 and a half rushing yards against Detroit. I know we were talking about that early on. So I think that's another good one. And then I'm going to do another one. Shane Newbanks had an interesting Daniel Bellinger anytime TD. So I'm going to do another parlay with anytime TDs with Bellinger in it. But the guys I went with anytime touchdowns today, I mean, I love your guys' input on who you think's going to score, because I'll put it in a parlay with Bellinger. But I have Ezekiel Elliott, Chris Godwin, Breece Hall, and Travis Kelce as anytime TD scores today.
Those are good. Those are probably good bets. The Hall one's tough, though, man. That defense is, if there is anything, that Broncos defense does not fool around. And if there was a week, that's the one thing, too, when I look at, like, the Jets-Broncos hilarious parlay that makes me actually feel good about it is, like, if there was a week for the Jets offense to not be functional, it's this one where you just have two balling corners, a front seven that can wreck, like, nothing. They're going to force. It's in Denver. Are they going to be 2-5? You know, it's kind of one of those things where the Hall one worries me a bit.
And the worst thing about that game, the implied total is the lowest one on the board. I would almost rather slide Kenneth Walker in there. To be honest, we talked about Walker just a minute ago.
Well, it's too late. It's too late for me to change it now, Brian. Jeez.
Oh, good.
The one game I feel bad about for not putting on the bet the slip this week is Seahawks Chargers. I think we're going to miss out on that one. I think there's a chance the Seahawks might win.
So. Is Kenneth Walker your anytime touchdown guy, Brian?
He would be for me, yeah.
It's a fantastic choice. Chargers can't stop the run.
Throw me one more guy, Brian.
I like Kenyon Drake. I think that the market hasn't adjusted to that yet. So him being the top back there, he's a good anytime scorer.
I don't mind Alec Pierce.
I'm in on
Alex. Yeah, he had a good week last week.
Joe, who's a guy you think's definitely getting in the end zone today?
Derrick Henry. You mentioned the Colts game. I didn't mention the Titans. Henry should have a field day.
How about a guy not playing in that game? Because I can't put through two guys in that game in the same parlay.
A guy not playing in that game. I'd go with one of the Falcons running backs, whichever one you feel is gonna, you know,
that feels dirty. I don't like that. That feels dirty.
You know, really? You do Mariota.
feels dirty still.
Quarterback run. Is there a chance the Falcons finally come back to earth and get dogged walked today? Yes, but I don't know. The Bengals, I think, kind of had their resurgence moment last week, which was good. But, man, I think that's still a tough matchup today for them, especially with those couple guys on defense out. No Reader, no Wilson, who are their two best run defensive players. It's a lot to ask for them to just stop the backs constantly.
What about P.J. Walker? He's at over 0.5 touchdowns, so he has to throw a touchdown. Can P.J. Walker throw a touchdown?
There's a chance they, score 3 points today.
There is a chance they don't score any points today.
This is the Bucks have to get it together. This is the get-right game of get-right games. The Panthers are everyone's get-right game, and for the Bucks, after losing that game to maybe – one of the three worst teams in the league last week, man, I think they're going to, especially with Carolina now, it's like, well, we're a team that doesn't care anymore. You know, it could be low scoring. Like it could be 20-0, 20-3, something like that.
So what about Brady at a touchdown and a half? Is Brady, after getting dunked on the last couple of weeks, is Brady going to come out and try to be a Brady again and just try to prove everybody wrong and be that crazy person that he is?
In all honesty, in regards to DFS perspective, I stayed away from that game just because who knows? I mean, yeah. I don't expect Carolina to score hardly all games. How long are the starters going to be irrelevant for the Bucs would be my question. So two touchdowns might be tough.
All right, before we hit the final commercial, come back with listener questions, rapid fire. I want to grace you all with a waste of 10 cents. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
12-leg parlay.
Let's go.
Anytime touchdown. Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews, Evan Ingram, Kate Otten, Dalton Schultz, Robert Tonyan, Austin Hooper, Tyler Conklin, Will Disley, George Kittle, Pratt Freiermuth, and Hunter Henry. Happy National Tight Ends Day.
I like it. What's it win?
So my 10 cents could win $485,241.49.
We won't see you next week.
If all that happens, you will not see me on Tuesday at work.
Or next weekend.
You know what? I will, if that happens, I'll cut you guys a little piece of the pie.
You better, bro.
I could afford to send you guys each a grand or so.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
I'll probably still have to show up to work on Tuesday, but.
Would you though?
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah, dude, $400,000 runs out eventually.
Yeah, and this is a topic for a different show, but those taxes on that kind of bank, even like going to the horse track, anything over $600, I hate to see the tax on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Got to work just to pay the taxes.
You put up a whole 10 cents for that.
But wouldn't it be great?
That'd be pretty funny.
Maybe that's the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay of the week.
So what's the leg that won't hit on that?
I know. Dude, there were a couple randos in there, man. Those are definitely not hitting.
So hopefully the leg that doesn't hit is either Freiermuth or what's the Monday night game? Oh, Freiermuth or Hunter Henry. That way I can cash out. if I hit 11 of 13, I can cash out and
The Monday night game is the team that shall not be named versus the Patriots.
Yeah, so I'm hoping if it's real well, I'm hoping it's at the end where it's Freiermuth or Henry, so I can cash out
at the hedge hard
at a couple hundred grand.
The Monday night game feels like previous Thursday night games to me.
Well, yeah,
it does.
No, what's going to happen? It's going to be great. What's going to happen is Mac Jones is going to suck for three quarters, and then Bailey Zappi is going to come in and lead a furious comeback, and it's going to be great. We're all on the Zap train, baby.
All right, let's hit commercial on the backside. We'll talk a little bit more.
This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint's is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline, and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport.
All right, boys. We got some questions. I also want to give a shout-out to one of our main biggest fan, top fan on Facebook, Jordan Rangel. Today is his kid's 10th birthday, so happy birthday, Brooks. Our first question of the day. Pick two, Latavius Murray, Darnell Mooney, or I assume Curtis Samuel.
I'm going to sit Samuel.
I'm going to sit Mooney. I think it's going to be a – Chris, you're muted. I'm going to sit Mooney. I think it's going to be a long day for Justin Fields tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll go with Murray.
They're going to get whacked. I'm going to hate it.
Who?
The team that shall not be named. the high school team in the NFL that plays in Illinois. You can't get me.
This is a really good question. Would be a good fitting question for earlier in the show, which I would have thought about. Who's the best quarterback to stream this week? He does give us a list. Jimmy G, Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Mariota, or Zach Wilson.
Jimmy G is the best quarterback out of those.
Yeah, agreed.
Mariota, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe go Zach Wilson.
Bateman, Renfro, or ETN?
ETN. I'm not sure. I mean, the Inactus route, was Bateman on that list or no?
Yeah, Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman's out. Yep.
In a perfect ETN. World. And ETN, I think there's a chance. If Doug Peterson does his homework, which he should, there's a lot of cheap yards ETN can get thrown behind some blitzes from the Giants today.
Cade Otton or Mike Gesicki?
Cade Otton.
Otton.
Yeah.
Gesicki, because why not? Screw it.
Pick two. Chris Godwin, Michael Pittman, Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson, Aaron Jones.
I'm going Waddle and Pittman.
Waddle and Jones.
Pittman, Jones.
I'm going to go Godwin and Pittman. So, good luck, Jordan. Jeff Wilson Jr. or Travis Etienne?
Etienne.
Yeah, Etienne.
Yeah, this would have been before the CMC stuff, probably.
So, and he is playing today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Good on him.
The last one is Alan Lazard or Bateman, which is obviously moot at this point because Bateman's not playing, so...
Yeah, but what if – no, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, it's not like a defense. You're not going to get minus points for stuff from receivers. What if Lazard just doesn't have a good day? You never know. Be funny.
He is all right.
Yeah. So he brought the ayahuasca boy has to throw to somebody.
He's available.
Lazard will score a touchdown. That's probably.
Probably. Nice. Probably. I mean, let's be real.
Jordan thinks it's funny. Jordan, tell your kid happy birthday if you didn't hear that part. And I also think it'd be funny. I'm not doing it. I have a league where I wouldn't say I'm tanking, but I'm also not trying to win. I tore down a team. I don't want to start Kate Otten over Alec Pierce, right?
No.
Because I'm already starting three tight ends in this league. I'm starting Daniel Bellinger, Pat Freiermuth, and I started Juwan Johnson on Thursday.
That was a nice move.
I just had a feeling. I was in between Juwan Johnson and a couple other players, and I just had a feeling with everybody out. I wish I would have bet him anytime touchdown. I would have felt really good about myself today.
I'd personally rather go Otten over Bellinger, but that's just me.
I love Bellinger.
Do you?
I do. All right. In honor of National Tight Ends Day, all of our rapid fire questions are tight end related. More receiving yards, George Kittle or Travis Kelce?
Kelce.
Yeah, Kelce.
Does Kittle score more fantasy points?
No.
No.
Nah.
More catches, David Njoku or Mark Andrews?
Njoku.
Andrews.
Who's Andrews?
I'll go Njoku. More fantasy points, Kyle Pitts or Hayden Hurst?
Hayden Hurst.
Kyle, because we don't have to ask if he scored it. Will he score this anymore? Because he
still lost his bit.
I did. I'm happy. I did lose my bit. Yeah, but we also were going to – DJ said last week that you guys did like a bit about Leonard Fournette scoring, and we were going to make it about Kyle Pitts now.
Yeah, through it. I'll come up with somebody. Okay. All right, fine. Will Kyle Pitts score?
Yes. He's on a heater, DJ.
Why not?
Yeah, he'll put up a whopping 10.
He scores, and the Falcons cover the 6.
Speaking of will he score, I was on my team where I'm not trying to be successful. I was looking for somebody to cut, and the suggestion was cut Juwan Johnson. And I said, he's going to score at least 10 fantasy points tonight. And then dude goes out and has 2 touchdowns. So I was pretty happy with myself on that one. And Gunnar Haskins owes me Chick-fil-A. So
the Saints are the most frustrating team to own fantasy players for.
Chris Olave seems like he's stepping out.
Well, I have Olave and Kamara in my second biggest league. It's just like they never score because their touchdowns are always Taysom Hill or some random 8th dude they have. Like, come on, man.
Could you feed your beast. Hill,
top 5 tight end.
Well, that's the thing. It's amazing. Johnson had 2 touchdowns and Hill still scored double digits. So,
could you imagine just being a Saints fan where your team's 2-4, you have no draft picks, you have no franchise quarterback? Yeah.
There's no team set up worse in the league right now than the Saints, and I love it.
They got their Super Bowl recently. They're fine.
Back when I was in junior high.
Yeah, but at least it's in color. The Bears one is like almost not in color at this point.
That's, I mean, I can't claim that. I wasn't alive for it. I'm just saying.
The Patriots still had the helmet with the guy snapping the ball, which should be their helmet instead of flying Elvis.
Yeah, you can almost hear the NFL films like stuff in the background when they highlight the play. It is
okay. On this play, William Refrigerator Perry jumped over the line and scored a touchdown.
William Perry didn't jump. Come on, Joe.
I'm just listen, man.
I jokingly told my dad that the first Super Bowl after his kid was born, his favorite team won, and the first Super Bowl after my kid was born, my favorite team won. His kid's 36, my kid's 3. So, I mean, we'll go with that. Better revenge game. Hayden Hurst, Evan Engram, or Gerald Everett?
Gerald Everett.
Ooh. Gerald Everett.
Ingram.
I'm going to go Ingram as well. Hayden Hurst, 3 touchdowns today.
Yeah. We know nothing about
running. Outside of your favorite team's game, which I know that is only really me, because Brian's team plays tonight and your guys' team plays tomorrow.
What game? Yeah, my team also plays tonight.
What game were you watching today?
I think it has to be the Chiefs 49ers.
Hey, it's Pumpkin Patch Sunday in the NFL, boys and girls. This is the Sunday you can get away with spending the first slate out with your significant other. I did that last night, though, so we ain't got to worry about it. Today we can watch some football. I think the Giants and Jags will be interesting. I really do. The Seahawks-Chargers could be interesting in a way. All these games end up interesting in some way, man. It's the NFL. So
that was the other one I was going to throw out there was the Seahawks game. I think it'll be the other one. But that also stinks because both theirs and the Chiefs are 3:30, 3 o'clock games Central Time. So,
yeah, I will have the Red Zone channel on from noon to 3:05, and then I'll be watching whoever calls games on Fox now.
Burkhart and Olsen to them.
I'll be watching them. Watching.
What a headliners.
Yeah,
they're good. Burkhart's good. Olsen's he's getting better, but Burkhart's good.
See, I think I'm in the minority that I actually really enjoy Joe Buck. So,
I love Joe Buck.
That too.
Dude, Monday night games, we went from Levy and the Clown Show to the A1 broadcast team for football. Monday Night Football has never felt more big since Alan Madden were doing it.
Bold take here. I think Tony Romo's terrible.
Romo's very good.
His shtick was good. His shtick was good on the first year he was around, and having him every week gets kind of old.
The thing I like about Romo is he made Nance 1,000 times better.
Agreed. I will agree with that.
You gotta bring the energy when you're with Nance. Yeah.
Yeah. And when Phil Simms was doing it, Nance was kind of dry. And I just feel like ever since Romo has joined him, I think I've liked Jim Nance more in football and college basketball.
That's because you took a golf commentator and told him to do football.
Yeah, but I think he's really good at it, obviously.
I want Kevin Harlan and Trent Green to call all my games.
It is weird having Harlan call football. I mean, I know it's a thing, but it does he's great, obviously. And I know that was that was the first thing that he did, but it is weird.
It's obviously Chiefs related. My favorite Kevin Harlan call is when he's covering the Chiefs game and Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a pass to Mike Gesicki to beat the Patriots to give the Chiefs home field advantage, and he just goes nuts, and it's great. Fantastic. Check out that clip. All right. So final rapid fire question of the day before we send you guys all home. Who is your favorite tight end of all time?
Ooh, that's a question.
Kellen Winslow Sr.
Desmond Clark, because we had a running bit that he believed that the football wasn't actually a football, that he thought it was a ham, and he just wanted to eat ham, and that's all he wanted. And so it became a whole thing where Desmond Clark didn't actually play football to play football. He just tried to get out there and try to catch a ham.
What?
First, Desmond Clark actually made my list of my top 10 favorite tight ends of all time. So,
dude was very good.
If you want to see that list of my top 10 favorite tight ends of all time, it is on social media today. So,
that was probably my favorite game of all time was the Dolphins-Chargers playoff game.
Kellen's goated.
Joseph, who is your favorite?
It's tough, man. If I had to, just kind of go at one, maybe like a Vernon Davis. There's always a Vernon Davis guy. Maryland Terrapins represent.
Vernon Davis also made my list of 10 favorite tight ends of all time. So, obviously, Travis Kelce is my favorite of all time. To finish out the list, obviously, I said Davis and Des Clark were also on the list. George Kittle, Dallas Clark.
I was thinking of that one.
Tony Gonzalez. Heath Miller.
Heath.
Antonio Gates.
He's probably like top four, three for me.
Tony Scheffler, which is an out there name. And rounding out the list is Donald Lee. So that's a sentimental value. My first name's Donald. My middle name's Lee. So it was kind of dope to have a tight end.
You're a nerd, Deej.
All right, Chris, take us home.
Thank you to everybody for taking some time to watch our silliness today. And I just want to reiterate that Desmond Clark did not like to play football. He thought he was going to get a ham, and he never got a ham. It is a sad story in the end, because maybe he got a ham with retirement, but I don't know if he got a ham for certain. But thank you all for taking some time to listen to our nonsense and have some fun with us. I know everybody's busy. Thank you to our sponsors. Our sponsors believe in our show and just have been endlessly supporting us. I'm watching Dak Prescott do his weird warm-up routine, and our sponsors have been a big pillar of our success. So thank you all, and everybody have good luck this week.
Brian, where's your line?
Hopefully everybody has a winning day.
Including me. Tired of losing.
Absolutely. Good luck to everybody in your lineups, DFS, betting for entertainment purposes. I hope everybody has a good day today. I hope that all those tight ends score touchdowns. And I can send Brian and Joe and Chris a couple bucks for being amazing. We had fun. If you have any questions throughout the week, feel free to post on our Facebook, tweet at us, slide into our DMs, whatnot. I know trade season's big time right now, so we'll see you guys next week.